Okay, so what are we making now?
We're going to make some rock bands. This was my very first business venture, making these rock bands and selling them to kids from my school. This is how it all started. I was 16 at the time, and I make 400 to 500 every night.
A teenage businessman then, were you?
Yeah, I guess I was.
My name is Alan Kasuja, and I'm in the kitchen of a remarkable African businessman. And together, we are going to bring you My Africa, charting the destinies of young people at the forefront of a changing continent. It's part of our Richer World season here on the BBC.
All right, so
this is it?
This is it, my man. There's no turning back now. These are going to bring back some memories for me. Let me just take a peek into the air. Okay, that's a disaster.
What is this? Let's look at those rock bands, or what is supposed to be rock bands.
Yeah, they're melting.
It looks like an omelette. Looks like fried eggs. Baked fried eggs.
These days, Isaac Oboth has moved on from selling rock bands to his fellow schoolboys. He tried selling DVD photo albums to other school friends and then selling pork and beer at rugby games. But now he's finally made it as the owner of a successful TV and video company in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. He's still only 26, and as we'll see today in the first of three programs all about the way young Africans see their future, his ambitions now encompass the entire African continent. Isaac's story is one of personal tragedy turned into self-motivation, one of a vision that could transform Africa, and of learning to take risks.
Did you just abandon this project?
Yeah, you sure don't have a test?
No, absolutely not.
You know, my first video project wasn't very successful either, so... Okay. There's always room to learn.
Filmmaking saved you.
Yeah, filmmaking's working out for me. It's working out for me.
If you ask me if I'm a profit maker or a filmmaker, I'd say I'm a profit-making filmmaker. All these different things that I tried were attempts to make money. I needed to make a profit on everything that I put my hands at. And the new Africa is made up of people like me, young businessmen that have started businesses from nothing and are paving a way with no template.
The seeds of Isaac's business career can be traced back to his childhood when he suffered the trauma of bereavement.
I'm Ivan, Isaac's elder brother. Our parents passed on early in life. I was probably about 10, 11, and Isaac was 6, 7 years old.
So you assumed the responsibility of taking care of your brother?
Yes, I did.
But that crisis was then compounded by another.
Well, Ivan, I don't know if you remember when you lost your job and you came to my high school and you sat me down. You told me you didn't have a job anymore. And if there was anything I could do to make money, anything at all, I should go ahead and do it. Yeah, that was a turning point for me. I don't think I've ever told you that.
Yeah, that was rock bottom. No job, but we had to make money somehow. So business was the only way to get around doing it.
It was a pivotal point for me. I mean, Ivan, who was my sole provider, after that conversation, I needed to start making money.
And hence rock bottom.
Yep, that's how the rock bands were created.
When we're at rock bottom, eh?
Yeah.
Those days of being orphaned with a jobless guardian now seem remote. 5 years ago, Isaac founded Media 256, a company making television programs, promotional videos, and advertisements. It's a thriving business, and he's a busy man.
All right. Have a nice day, huh? All right, cheers, bye.
That was a very long call. Where is she calling you from?
From New York.
You discuss a lot of business in the car.
Yeah, you can spend your whole afternoon just driving around in traffic jam.
And someone else is calling. Who's that?
He's a rapper. He's called Riyonga. Hey, Riyonga, what's happening? Man, I'm sorry. I'm actually in traffic
jam. So the phone doesn't stop ringing, does it?
No.
Oh, someone else is calling.
What's that? Hello?
But today, Isaac's ambitions go far beyond mere commercial success. He feels he must contribute towards changing Africa, using his own good fortune to help build a new, more reliable business climate.
I went to a private school, and a lot of those kids, their parents were in positions of power and influence.
Right.
And I'm able to send some work my way, so I benefit from that. You know, just to be the person they call first.
You sound like a pretty corrupt businessman.
It's information. I should show you the newspaper. If any day, you'll see real corruption.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So real corruption is not about small business like yours struggling, trying to make an end?
No, real corruption isn't, you know,
taking advantage of having a friend that's going to give me dibs on a job. Fortunately for me, I'm able to actually back it up with the talent. It's not just about the network or getting there fast.
My vision for Africa is one that is not corrupt. My vision for Africa is one where business leads the way and actually makes a difference in the day-to-day lives of everyday Africans, where people get work on merit, not because you're so well-connected or you're willing to give kickbacks, but where you get the job because you're the best person for the job, and where failure is punished. And my vision for Africa is international, where different African states trade with one another, an Africa that is self-reliant. That is my vision for Africa.
I honestly don't remember thinking like that when I was younger. We never thought about the continent as a whole. We were lost in our own realities, trying to survive. But Isaac's one of a new breed of young African entrepreneurs, hoping to change their world, one business deal at a time, forging commercial links all over Africa. The deal he now wants to secure is his most ambitious yet. It's a major new TV series called Discover Uganda. It's meant to showcase Uganda to other Africans, and as a part of his Pan-African vision, he wants to get it screened across the entire continent.
My name is Arthur Nakaka, the art director of Admire Motion Pictures. We've been recently working on Isaac's TV show called Discover Uganda. We've been coming up with the look, the graphics, the different elements that make the show look nice. Okay, Isaac, take a look at what we've done.
Let's go.
I have to start creating that Pan-African vision that I have in my head by actually doing something Pan-African. And by getting this content into homes in Ghana, into homes in the DRC, into bars in Zimbabwe, that is going to change the future. We believe the show can do bigger and better than what anyone else has done before.
I've got to say that that's actually very good work. Just explain the concept to me. How did you come up to it?
The idea was to keep it African, keep it rich, keep it colorful.
That's not the Africa that is seen around the world, is it? A lot of people think Africa, Ebola, disease.
Exactly. I think through things like this, people are going to see, for example, Uganda in a different light.
Discover Uganda presents an inspiring image of a modern Africa, and everyone that Isaac's got involved seems to agree on the need to achieve the broad objective.
Isaac is my brother, and if you have a common goal that we are striving for...
Which is money in this case.
Changing this continent, I think it's a bigger prize. Our motive is to change the continent.
We've driven out of Kampala City to a little town about 20 minutes out of Kampala, and we've come to a school called Hana, and there is a congress taking place here, a meeting of sorts, students drawn from all over the country. Isaac will be speaking here to young people, and we'll just walk in and get a sense of what's going on.
Good morning, scholars. I should probably call you leaders. You guys are leaders. Good morning, leaders. This morning, I'm going to just tell you a bit of my story, how I got into business, and hopefully that will inspire some of you to get into business as well. I'll start by quoting a mentor of mine.
It's amazing to see people like Isaac at work. As a Ugandan myself, I'm so aware that Africa's had big dreams before. Nearly 60 years ago, our leaders promised that independence would bring wealth and stability, but it didn't. But a new African generation is working from the premise that it's the grassroots that matter the most, not political solutions. Like Isaac, they're helping each other to achieve as individuals.
When I was about your age, I was in high school.
It's very, very energizing to be able to speak to so many young people. By the time I leave one of these events, I can walk into any office and command the attention of the top MD. Just them seeing that it is possible for them to actually make money from something that they love gives me so much energy.
But ironically, after selling rock cakes to stay at school, Isaac ultimately gave up his academic career.
I didn't finish university. It wasn't an easy decision. But it's hard. It's really, really hard when your heart is somewhere else. The truth is, you're better off being extraordinary at something that you might think is normal than being mediocre at something that you think is extraordinary.
Uh, a number of students obviously walking up to Isaac to speak to him and ask him questions after the speech that he gave. What are you talking to him about?
I was asking him, like, some of the youths like us, we have fear, and I was just asking him of the ideas that would really boost our confidence.
She was asking me if I was scared to leave school, you know, how was my family going to take that and think about it, and it wasn't easy.
Were you planning to leave school?
No, not leave school, but I really love basketball.
So you want to find a way of playing basketball for a living?
Yes.
Really? What would you say to that, Isaac? Is that realistic?
I think anything, as long as you're very, very passionate.
But come on, Isaac. But sports doesn't pay in this country. We both know that.
It doesn't pay yet.
The best advice, I would imagine, for all these kids that you're speaking to should be that stay in school.
Well, that's true. I mean, most of the people that leave school chasing a dream, many of them don't actually, you know, make it. We hear about the few that have really, really made it. The thing is, though, that one in a million that makes it, the impact that they have on the country, on the generation, and on Africa is really, really significant. So it would be only right to nurture, you know, people that have dreams so that that one in a million could actually make it and make a huge, huge difference.
Is it right to be telling young people to gamble, though?
I'm telling them that it's possible to make something out of yourself, you know, in spite of the risk. You have everything that I have. Some of you might even have more than I had at the time. So, absolutely, if I did it, so can you.
Talk to me about how important it is for you to be driving this car. It's a Mercedes-Benz. It had to be a Mercedes, did it?
You know, your first address is your car.
Your first address is your car?
Yeah.
So this is an address?
This is an address.
It's not just a car. It makes a statement about you.
It does.
What does it say?
It says, take this guy seriously, you know.
And that matters. Perceptions, how you perceive, is a big thing.
Yeah. Just boost your confidence. Yeah. It's important to give an image of success. If I'm going to do an advert for a premium brand, I have to look the part. I have to look like I'm someone that consumes a premium brand. That's the only reason the marketing manager will put their faith in me and give me their product to sell. So my car is an important asset for me because it puts me in a position where I'm able to get jobs that otherwise I wouldn't be able to get. But unfortunately, my car is not the most practical car for these parts.
What are you thinking coming this way, man? So we're trying to make our way to Isaac's office, and unfortunately the car is stuck in one of the big potholes. And this is supposed to be in the capital city. It's not uncommon for this sort of thing to happen after it's rained heavily. But you get the sense that these are some of the challenges small businesses like Isaac's have to endure. Just think about how much time you're going to consume trying to sort this thing out. And then all these guys that have suddenly showed up to help us are going to expect to get paid.
It feels like I'm right in the middle of an old and a new Africa. Me, myself, I feel like I'm very much a part of the new Africa, but it's impossible to do business here without still dealing every day with the old Africa. As you'd imagine, there are infrastructural challenges, getting good quality internet, that can be quite tough. And there are also challenges in terms of managing your cash flow. Those can also be very, very big challenges.
One of Isaac's biggest headaches is just getting other Ugandans to pay up after they've used his services.
Good afternoon. I'd like to check the balance on these two, please. Are you able to tell if someone has initiated a payment on the shillings account? There's one in particular that should be of about 7 million. Nothing. Thank you so much. Have a nice afternoon. Well, I was hoping that a few payments had come through.
Money that you need urgently?
Yeah.
Have they come through?
No. I'm responsible for other people. You know, they expect their salaries at the end of the month. The landlord expects his money to have utilities at the office. You know.
There are also promises, I'm sure, that you make on the back of those promises that the money will be in your account.
I don't do that with my employees because it's when you start doing that they begin taking things on the side.
Jobs on the side to support them because you're not paying them on time.
Exactly, yeah, because they have, you know, lives to live, so I borrow money.
Constantly having to chase payments like this is another reason why Isaac wants to make his big Pan-African splash. He says rather than being a gun for hire, making different videos for multiple clients, he'll be able to publish his own creation through a single outlet to millions of viewers. But if he's to make it all work, he'll need to expand his workforce of 12 people. And here is yet another challenge.
So whose video is this? You don't know. Who wants to show their video? Anyone else? None of you guys wants to share.
This is Isaac's regular lecture to a Kampala Media College. It's a bit of an enlightened self-interest. He's on the lookout for entry-level recruits, and frankly, there aren't any in evidence today.
All right, so when you're shooting, what things do you have control of?
ISO.
What else?
Focus.
What else? Keep them coming. Sorry? All right, I need you guys to speak with some more confidence, huh? Speak.
Framing.
Right.
I've just come out of that lecture. First impressions, what did you think?
Actually, if anything, this was a good class compared to what I've seen.
It gets worse than that?
Yeah, it gets much worse, yeah.
I didn't get the sense that they were actually keen to share their ideas. They sort of held back.
It's a cultural thing. You know, generally speaking, Ugandans, we listen, we nod our heads, we don't like disappointing people, and we don't speak up much, so we don't express. The way the school system in Uganda works right now, it rewards those that pass exams. People are not taught to think creatively, to question, to go beyond just the syllabus. And unfortunately, that doesn't work for me. The kind of people I'm looking for, people that are confident. And the thing for me that's a little hard to see is when I ask someone directly to share with me their thoughts, and they look to the ground.
And there was a bit of that in the class.
There's a bit of that today, yeah.
So, can Isaac really make good on his vision of a big Pan-African TV series? There are so many difficulties involved in building a modern urban business like his that you wonder why anyone would bother. The risks, the day-to-day challenges, the uphill struggle convincing people that you can deliver are so much that one of his contemporaries has actually turned her back on the capital, Kampala, although she's no less successful in her own way. I wanted to compare her ambitions with Isaac, so I took a day trip out of town to Tirinyi, about 200 kilometers east, to visit Letitia Nabiri.
Go! I graduated in 2006. I tried looking for jobs in Kampala. I tried moving office to office looking for jobs. I couldn't go through. So I was depressed because I was really yearning to be employed and things were not working out. But again, I just sat and thought, maybe I need to change my mindset. So because I couldn't get a job in Kampala, I decided to come back to the village.
Letitia's come home to a rural town, so small that everyone knows each other. The locals are actively involved in their own security and are often seen parading on the playing fields next to the church and school. Nearby, she's also got a farm and uses her produce to supply a catering business, even though she's trained as a teacher.
I grow crops like beans, G-nuts.
Groundnuts.
Yeah, groundnuts, potatoes. There are very many business opportunities where most youths have not realized.
Are you able to give me an idea of how much income you make every month?
Around 2.5.
That's about $1,000 a month.
Mm.
Do you think if you'd remained in Kampala, you'd be making $1,000
a month? No, I wouldn't.
Okay, I'm very keen to see some of your agriculture. Do you mind showing me?
It's okay. So this is my farm. I've heaped potatoes for the second season. And the first season, I put groundnuts.
And they're very popular. They are part of the daily diet in Uganda. Delicious. So I imagine that the demand for them is huge.
The demand is high.
So when you came back from Kampala, where you'd gone to study, what did the community think of you?
Actually, they thought I was a failure. They would even tell me, hey, for you who is a university graduate, you're supposed to be in an office. Why are you back again cooking food? Some of us who didn't go to school can also cook. But I didn't realize that I'm smart. Actually, I'm now a consultant.
You're one of the top business people now.
I'm invited as a key stakeholder in the town if there are meetings.
I know people like you who end up having some sort of political ambitions.
I've not thought about that.
Why?
Actually, politics, you just go there to waste time and money.
Really?
Yeah. And for me, if you're an entrepreneur, you need to bring, you know, customers close, eh?
This is my orange orchard. There are over 300 trees. This is pruning. You remove the old branches to give room for the new branches to grow very well. It's hard work, but if you're used, it becomes part of you and life goes on.
It's time consuming and you need to know what you're doing. But in one sense at least, Letitia doesn't need to take the same level of commercial risk that Isaac does. She's realized that there is more than enough land to go around, that harvest will grow most if not all the time, and that people will always need to eat. She says looking to Mother Earth is a much safer bet than chasing deals that can go wrong.
Actually, in my own understanding, the future of Africa lies in the rural areas. You will never lack a meal. You'll never sleep hungry in the countryside. Reason being, there are idle resources which need to be exploited. I have a feeling people in towns are doing a lot of nothing. But if such people left town and came to the villages to concentrate in these activities, I have a feeling we shall be somewhere.
Back in a rainy Kampala, Isaac begs to differ. It's a big day for him and the project to get his TV series, Discover Uganda, off the ground. Shortly before I'm due to leave town, I'm joining him on a visit to his longtime business mentor, Simon Kaheru. Simon is a TV executive himself, though for a Ugandan broadcaster, not the Pan-African TV outlet, DSTV, that Isaac wants to sell his show to.
So, there's a show that I'm really excited about. Actually, I have a teaser.
What song is that?
It's a South African song.
Yeah, you get rid of that. Everything has got to be Ugandan, you know.
I know. There's very, very few people that are more important to me in business than Simon Kaheru.
You went up into the sky for that.
I listen to his every word because he's 20 years my senior. He has a huge business and I'm very proud of what he's been able to accomplish.
Where's this?
So every time Simon has something to tell me, I take it with both ears. So I went there with this new program of mine that I'm excited about, Discover Uganda, and I wanted him to give me advice on how I can get that across the entire continent. But as it turns out, I was in for a real surprise. Yeah, so this show we're actually pushing for DSTV.
No, we'll take it.
Well, the thing is, I mean...
You already signed a contract?
No, I haven't signed a contract.
Then what's the problem?
We're just looking at our options.
Okay, so we are an option as well.
So you think you'll be able to match the deal?
Yes. I'll make them do so.
Where will the cash? Where will the cash come from?
We have cash. We have a lot of cash. Come over, let's talk. Change the direction.
I spoke to Simon myself. He's mentoring several young entrepreneurs. And he says he's keen to harness their can-do attitude for Uganda's own good and for his own.
I'm being a bit selfish because I want to get the quality work that Isaac produces and expose this country to that. Because one of the things that happens in Uganda is we generally do not believe that we can produce that type of quality work. He should use these opportunities that are here in Africa. Actually, most of these young people, unfortunately, focus on the external, the markets in Europe or America or the Asia's had,
right,
before looking at what the markets here have to offer, before looking at the opportunities they've got right here on the ground.
It seems Isaac's got more than he bargained for. A free hit on Ugandan TV. But Isaac's generation like to do things differently to their predecessors. They've lived through cycles of risk and reward and failure. They've had to make hard choices. When we got back to the car, Isaac told me what he thought of Simon's offer.
Okay, so you've just had a chat with Simon.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by his reaction?
No, I'm extremely surprised. I mean, the show being on Uganda TV station is right for Simon, 100%. But is it right for Isaac?
Now, how do you resolve this? Because it presents quite a dilemma for you. On the one hand, someone who you consider your mentor is saying, develop content for the local market. And you seem still locked into this idea of going continental.
No, actually, he hasn't changed my mind on that at all. I believe that, you know, this show is still going to go Pan-African. It's a dream that I've had. It's a dream that we've had as a team, you know, as we worked on this show, and I wouldn't want it to change that.
It's a massive risk, isn't it?
Well, it's calculated. It's calculated.
And so Isaac sticks to his guns. Perhaps this was the moment when he stopped being a young entrepreneur and became a fully mature businessman, knowing his own turf, knowing when it's right to gamble, and determined not to let anyone or anything, not even the advice of his own mentor, stand in the way of his grand African project.
Mentors provide great advice. Their word isn't law. I don't have to do everything Simon says. I pick and choose, you know? And I hope this isn't a mistake, of course, but my gut tells me that the way to go is Pan-African.
African TV viewers will soon see if he's right or not. Personally, I think Isaac will go far. Last century, independence was a big risk for African nations, but too often the chances were squandered when African leaders and their cronies failed to rise to the challenge. They might still be young and idealistic, but people like Isaac and Letitia seem intent on avoiding that mistake in the future. They look to themselves for salvation rather than to politics. And they're happy to take the necessary risks. Next time on My Africa, I'll be in Rwanda, meeting two young Africans who seem to disagree over looking outwards to the world or inwards to their own ancient culture. Join me then. Meanwhile, you can hear more from the BBC's Richer World season online at bbc.com/richerworld.